Yes, how true, every Sunday that we're blessed to come together and assemble together, the church coming together. We come together in recognition of the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and the coming again of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And every time that we participate in and have the ordinance of the church of communion, we do shew forth the Lord's death until he comes again. So we trust that we're thankful for the creative power of God, his eternal power of creation, whether it be spiritual life, as in the new birth, a new creation in Christ Jesus, or natural life. All life, the breath of life, originates and comes from God Almighty. So we praise the Lord for that this morning. As we endeavored last Sunday to speak to you upon the subject of the Godhead, three in one God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and the two out of the three places in the scripture has to do with the evidence of the Godhead from the standpoint of nature, from the standpoint of creation, from the standpoint of his eternal power in creation. And so as God is the creator of life, the sustainer of life, and the giver of life. And we recognize those very facts. Upon Tri, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, meaning we have three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And of course, man is a tri-being, body, soul, and spirit. So upon that theme, I'd like to continue this morning and proceed with the thoughts of the third day. The third day. And of course, the primary center and attention around that is that Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he rose from the dead according to the scriptures on the third day. Why the third day? Why the third day? There's significance, there's importance to the third day. The third day. I want to go back to Genesis, back into Genesis chapter 1. And let's look at some expressions around creation when God created. And we understand from Genesis 1 and 1 that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2 in the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2. And the earth was without form. In other words, the earth had no form to it. It was a round terrestrial ball. And the Bible says that it was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now this does not signify chaos. When the scripture speaks that it was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep, this darkness here does not typify or signify evil or wickedness. It certainly does not. Darkness is the absence of light. So what the scripture is teaching us here, we know that there is no light of any kind in God's creation. Yet, we're talking about creation. We know that God is the very essence of light, but God is eternal.
And but so we're talking about here in the temporal, we're talking about here in creation, and that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now water was covering the whole surface of the earth. There was no expansion yet. There was no dividing of waters yet. There was no dry land yet. We understand from the scriptures. So then we go into the first day. And on this first day, in verse 3 it says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Now evidently this is a light that is out and away from the earth, but yet it is not the sun. The sun to rule the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night, was not created until the fourth day. But on this first day of creation, and it is in time, it is in the first day of creation that God said, God pronounced, God spoke, declared his statement by his eternal Godhead, by his eternal power, by his eternal authority, and said, "Let there be light." And there was light. There's a lot of different thoughts. There's a lot of different explanations upon this light. But brothers and sisters, we're not told exactly what this light is. But evidently, it was a light whereby the counting of time did. For there was a day, the night, the first part, and the day, the second part. There was a passing of a 24-hour period that began here in the creation of this first day. So we have to be satisfied to leave some things here and just leave them as the scripture states them and as the scripture teaches them unto us, and be satisfied and by faith to believe that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. There was light, and whatever that this light was, the existence of light coming into existence, spoke into creative power itself, is this light. I believe that is under consideration, and God saw the light, that it was good. The light was good. Now this is, it couldn't have been bad. God created it. It's not a judgment or a determination whether it was bad or whether it was good. It is a pronunciation that the light that God created, as well as all of God's creation, that it came into creation as God intended, as God had purposed, and therefore God was satisfied with it. Therefore God says that it was good. All right? I understand it from that particular standpoint. And God dividing the light from the darkness. The reason there was darkness, as verse 2 said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was total darkness when God created the heaven and the earth, the original right there in the beginning, and before God began to fill in then, and during those 6 days of creation, and up until that first day, that after God had created the earth, but when God had created light, then there was the distinction of light and darkness. It was no longer a total darkness, but there was light. Now, notice God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So there is, with the creation of this light, whatever that it is, amen, there is a passing of a 24-hour cycle that does take place. Then, when you go into the second day, what is created, what is filled in, what God is painting as a master painter would paint in. God created the heaven and the earth, and then in the 6 days, amen, God filled it in. Amen. God placed the different aspects of life. I want you to notice now that there was not life, natural life, until the third day. Notice on the second day, there is when God says, starting in verse 6, let there be a firmament, let there be an expansion. Notice what he says, in the midst of the waters, in the midst of the waters. So the water is covering the earth, and water is above the earth. There is no sky at that time on the first day. The sky comes into creation at God's speaking it on the second day. And so here there's the dividing of the waters from the waters. So when God makes this expansion, here we still have on the second day water covering all the earth. Then we have an expansion, a space, which is the first heaven, the light, the sky that you see up here. But yet above that is a canopy of waters. That firmament is in between the waters. And that's exactly what the verse is saying, that in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. So the scripture bears out what I just said. And it was so. I want you to notice that. And another expression to prove that this firmament, that this expansion is the blue sky that you see above. Where did the birds fly? They fly there in that sky that you see. On the fifth day is when God created them. And in verse 20, at the latter part of that verse, it says, and fowl, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. All right. So there's the expression also that teaches us where that expansion is. And that firmament that is under consideration that God created on the second day that divides the waters from the waters. It's the blue sky that you see. So go back to verse 8 now. And on the second day, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So God called the firmament, this blue sky, he called it heaven. Now this is not the second heaven on beyond. It is not where the sun and the moon is. That has not been created until the fourth day. Amen. And it is certainly not the third heaven that the Apostle Paul spoke of in speaking of the man. And I believe the Apostle Paul was speaking of himself, where he talked about that whether in body or spirit, he didn't know. But he went into that third heaven and he saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. Now I tell you, it's lawful for the things to be uttered about this first heaven, and we can see it. And God tells us a lot about it, and about that second heaven, and of creation, and so forth. But that spiritual heaven, though, which is a real place, it is a real place, but yet it is a spiritual That's hard for our natural minds to wrap around. But yet, it is so. Of that place, there are things that are not lawful to be uttered concerning. And the half has not been told. Yeah. Amen. Of that place. Right. Now, the point that we're coming to. On the third day. The third day is the first day of life. Amen. The first day of life. The first day of something coming into being that has life in it. All right. On the third day, what did God do? God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. All right, there is no life on earth. No life coming out of the ground. No life on top of the ground. Amen. No plants, no trees. Until the third day. The third day represents, amen, creative life. The third day represents a coming forth of life. That God, amen, created life. And how did God, amen, create the life? The first thing that had to be done, there had to be dry land made. Amen. The land was there, but water was upon it. The water covered the whole face of the earth. Oh, what did God say? Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathered together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. I want you to notice that. You know, even old brother Job, we have an expression that comes across in Job chapter 28 in verse 10 and verse 11. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eyes seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. So what did God do here? As we have this expression, notice, even in particular, on over into Psalms, the 104, Psalms 104. Notice those expressions. Expressions there in verse 6 through verse 9. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. You see, God said, God spoke for the dry land to appear and for the waters to go into the places whereby God directed them. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. And then in Psalms 24, the scripture said, the earth is the Lord's. Now, what did he call it? And when you go back to Genesis 1 and verse 10, and God called the dry land earth. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Amen. The earth, he established it upon the floods. Amen. Upon the sea. How did he do it? Amen. He separated. He divided out. He caused the waters to go into their place. That dry land would appear. That there, amen, that the mountains would be exposed. That the valleys would be. Amen. That the plains, the deserts. Amen. All the different terrains of the earth, the land would be because God had separated and set bounds for the seas and the oceans, amen, for the rivers, the lakes, the ponds, the streams, the creeks, amen, for all of these things, amen, God divided them out. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he sees, and God saw that it was good. Once again, God's not making a judgment whether it was good or bad, because it's not bad. Amen. Amen. What God is saying, I'm satisfied with it. It's good. It's according to the intent. It's according to the eternal design. Amen. Of a tri-God. Amen. Of Eliel. Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Godhead. And here on the third day, God is separating out the waters to the dry land that he calls earth. And what's he going to do? That he can bring forth life.
Yeah.
To bring forth life. Amen. Here on the third day, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. God said, amen, for the herb to come forth yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. What is this saying? God created mature vegetation. God created mature plants. The herb, amen, had the seed in it. It was mature. The fruit tree, amen, he created bearing, coming forth with fruit on it. Amen. In his creation, God brought forth in maturity Adam and Eve. He created as adults. Amen. All of God's creation that God creates, amen, it's not that it had to grow into something for him to say that it was good. When he spoke it and brought it forth, he brought it forth according, amen, to his design. And his orderly design was for it to be mature. For it was for it to be able at once, amen, to begin to reproduce and to multiply. You get that? Amen. That it was capable. That what he created was capable of immediately reproducing and multiplying. All right, that was God's design. So, whose seed is in it upon the earth? And it was so, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in it. Notice that. After his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So now on the third day, God creates life. That which can generate. Amen. That which can produce. That which can bring forth offspring. Amen. After its own kind. So this is the beginning to set forth a pattern in the scriptures of the third day. Now, for the sake of time, I've got to hurry over the fourth and fifth day, but the sixth day. And so what do we have? We have 3 days later. 2 times 3 is 6. So we have from the third day, amen, God bringing forth in creation life. And then we have 3 days later, amen, God bringing forth and finishing the crowning jewel of life, of creation, which is Adam and Eve. Yeah. Amen, that God creates them, and God creates Adam, and he makes him from the dust of the ground. All right, so in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Amen. After our likeness. Just as God is tribe, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. God makes man tribe, body, soul, and spirit. The scripture attributes Adam, the Son of God, like there in the genealogy. Adam, the son of God. Adam is the son of God in that genealogy, in that context. And I've told you this before. Amen. By creation. Amen. God begot him. Amen. Through and by creation. But God created him mature. Amen. Able to produce offspring. And so, and of course we know that he certainly did. And also on this sixth day, God said, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. See, everything that's created now is in it, God has created. And here in the finality of this creation. Now, we also know that on the sixth day, in the beginning of that day, God said in verse 24, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle, creeping things, beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So we see God, but the first of God's creation in bringing forth on the third day is grass and herb and fruit trees, all types of vegetation and trees and so forth in that realm. In the fifth day, God filled the sky and God filled the waters with abundance of life. But on the sixth day is the things that would walk upon the earth. And of course, talking about the animals. And then the very last created is that which would walk upon the earth. God's crowning jewel, Adam and Eve. 3 days later. So we have a precedent, amen, of life coming forth from God and the significance of the third day. Now I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. If you would, please. In Genesis chapter 22, one of the most beautiful pictures that you'll find in Scripture of the Old Testament, and which is also prophetic. It actually happened, but it's also a prophetic picture. It's also a beautiful type and shadow. Yeah. Amen. Of the Lord Jesus Christ that would come, of the Father giving his only begotten Son, and of the resurrection. Yeah. For indeed Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. Now I want you to notice the significance of this, and I'm going to drop down so that you'll already get this thought in your mind, and then we'll go back up here to verse 1. But I want you to notice in verse 4, when Abraham went on this journey with his son Isaac and with those young men, that the Bible says in verse 4, then on the third day, did you get that? Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. It is on the third day, the day of life, amen, and the day of resurrection, amen. Abraham believed it was going to be a resurrection. He believed he was going to take Isaac's life, but God was going to raise Isaac from the dead. Now, it's the precedent that is said. It was on the third day. Now, notice back in verse 1, when God told him, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. What is the sense of that? Amen. What is the sense that God tempted Abraham? God tried him. God proved him. God tested him. Amen. God was not tempting him to commit evil. We know the scripture teaches us that God cannot be tempted, and God does not tempt any man, amen, with sin. We understand that. This means trial. This means a proving out. This is the sense of which this word tempt means here. So then in verse 2 it tells us that God told him, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Now here's your picture being painted. Here is the type, the shadow, the allegory. Abraham has a son. He is a son of promise. Amen. He is the son of his old age. He only has the one son. That only son. Oh, what does the scripture teach us? For God so loved the world, Jews and Gentiles, that he gave his only begotten son. His only son. The only son. Amen. Begotten of the Father. Mary overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Now the Lord has many sons by adoption. And the captain of our salvation will bring many sons unto glory. But they are not, amen, in the sense as Jesus Christ. They are not the only begotten of the Father. Amen. In that sense. So here's Isaac and Abraham. Isaac is his only son. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Word made flesh. Amen. Condescended, come down here to earth. And God so loved the world. Amen. Jews and Gentiles. And he has a people out of Jews and Gentiles. Amen. Of all the kindreds and the families and the tribes and the nations of the earth, he has a people. And for those people, amen, his people, God gave his only begotten son. Yeah. Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful to think about. Now Abraham is taking this journey and he took some young men with him. And God says concerning his only son, whom thou lovest. Whom thou lovest. I tell you, the Father, amen, loved his son. Amen. God loved his son. The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. Because ye are sons, he hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Amen. He loved his son. Oh, that he gave him a people. He gave him a people to save. Even though it would take him coming down here to this low ground of sin and sorrow and suffering and give his life a ransom for the many. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. How many? All that the Father gave him. All that the Father gave unto him. As thou hast given him power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given unto him. And thank God he said he wouldn't lose a one of them. That the Father had given unto him. And he will stand before the Father in the close of time, there in heaven in immortal glory with all the glorified children of God. And the Lord will say, I am the children that thou gavest unto me. Oh, I tell you, you have to have help to misunderstand those things, but there's plenty of it out here in the world to help people to misunderstand it. Oh, but thank God for his clear word that teaches us these grand and glorious truths that we hold so dear in Jesus Christ our blessed Lord. So, as Abraham loved his son, that son that he loved, and God told him to, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. He was to go to the mountain, and it was to this Mount of Moriah, one of the mountains of Moriah, that God would show him that he would go up on and to offer up his son. I tell you, amen, God gave his son, and the son gave his life in the context of the crucifixion that was upon Golgotha's hill, amen, that was upon a mountain, a hill. Jerusalem is situated, amen, upon hills, and outside of the gate of the city of Jerusalem was Mount Calvary, amen, Golgotha, Armageddon, in the different languages being interpreted. And upon that hill there, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life in the context of the crucifixion. Now, and so it tells us then in verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering. Notice that word, and clave the wood, or he split the wood. He got the wood prepared, the wood that he's going to use for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. On that third day, amen, of their traveling, the third day significance here, that he sees this place. And so he begins to act upon it. You know, the Bible is so specific here to tell us. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. Verse 5 tells us that Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Come again to you. The very English language here implies, and not only implies, amen, but directs you to understand that Abraham's thought was that not only he, but also the lad was coming back. Yeah. Amen. Also the lad was coming back. When you turn over into the Hebrew letter there in Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to notice the language here that tells us these very things. Starting verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried. Remember that when I told you back over there the sense of that word, when God tempted Abraham, God tried him, God proved him, God tested him. Well, here, amen, is the translated word here in the Holy Writ that agrees with that and harmonizes. By faith, when he was tried, when he was proved, when he was tested, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. The Bible says it in the completed form, offered up Isaac. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Somebody said he didn't offer him up. Yes, he did. He offered him up. Isaac was as good as dead in the mind of Abraham. He was as good as dead. Abraham offered him up. The Bible right here says he did. Amen. When he was tried, when he was tested, when he was proved, he offered him up. Well, God stayed his hand. God called to him. He didn't take his life. No, but it was just as good as done. Amen. In his mind, Isaac was the walking dead. Isaac was the walking dead as he walked up that mountain. He was just as sure to die. All right, and I believe that's one of the scripture, amen, words it this way. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. There, just so you don't miss the point, the Holy Ghost tells you twice. Amen. You see that? So you don't miss the point. The Holy Ghost tells you twice that Abraham offered him up. Amen. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. How hard is that shall? It's a hard shall. Yeah. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. If in Isaac his seed was going to be called and had to come through Isaac, then Abraham believed the way it would be after he had slew him there, had killed him, sacrificed him at the command of God, that God would raise him from the dead. Yeah. That in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And was it not? Yes, it was. Notice that. Accounting in verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In a figurative sense, Abraham received him from the dead. Amen. That's what that verse is saying.
Yeah.
That's strong. That's powerful, children. Yeah. Amen. In a figurative sense, Abraham received him from the dead. Resurrection. Resurrection power. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, how does it say that he did it? By faith. I tell you, that day, Brother Abraham was, amen, he was above all taking the shield of faith. Amen. To quench any fiery darts. Assailed from the wicked one. Don't you know, brothers and sisters, that Satan was there antagonizing him, poking and gouging Brother Abraham all the way as he was on that journey and on that third day and saw the place afar off and went up there to offer up his son. Don't you know Satan was trying to fill his mind with doubts and confusion and so forth. But by faith and by using the shield of faith, he was able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. Of that wicked one, Satan. And in a figure, he received his son. Amen. Even from the dead. Because Isaac was just as good as dead. He was a dead man walking. And I tell you, it was on the third day, amen, that God raised Isaac up and gave him back unto his father. Now, when you turn back over here to Genesis chapter 22, it says, when Abraham, he said to the young men in verse 5, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. That wood that he had prepared, that he had gotten ready to place there upon the place of an altar to do the sacrifice. He laid that wood upon him. I take it that he laid it upon either his shoulder, his back, that would be the place of bearing a burden. And even so, our blessed Lord, he was compelled to bear those two pieces of wood, that tree of the cross, the tree of the cross, and to bear it and to carry it, that which he would be suspended upon and hang between heaven and earth. Most people, that's the only cross they have in their mind and think about is the two pieces of wood. Now, I want to tell you, friend, when the Bible speaks to us about the cross of Christ, as I've said before, I believe it's talking about the cross that he bore from the time of his conception until his resurrection. Until he was when he was resurrected, he was glorified. Amen. He bore his cross. But on that day, he bore the tree of the cross. He bore those two pieces of wood that he would, amen, be nailed to with three rusty nails. Amen. One in this hand and one in this hand. And his feet crossed and one through both with those nails. They nailed him there. He fell beneath the weight of the load of the agony that he was under and of the pain and the suffering that he was enduring physically. And one was compelled to pick it up, the two pieces of wood, the tree of the cross, and to carry it on further up to that place. But here we see as Isaac, as Abraham laid the wood for the offering upon him. And also here the scripture says that he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. So they've got wood, they've got fire, they've got the knife. But you know, Isaac, he knows there should be something else. And he asked his father the question. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father in verse 7. And said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb? Oh, John the Baptist beholding the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. There was the sin. That is the penalty of sin, the law of sin and death. Amen. Singular, the sin of the world. There was a world that Jesus delivered from the penalty of sin, from the law of sin and death. And I tell you, whosoever is composed and encompassed and embraced in that world, Jesus took away, amen, the charge. Amen. Legally, they are as though they have never been under the law of sin and death. And God being, amen, the just judge that he is, cannot twice demand payment for the same sin. So therefore, there is a world that has the prisoners that have been let free, that have been released, that are not under the charge and the legal penalty of that law of sin and death, but they are justified by the blood, by the shed blood, by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, there is a world that is assured of living with God in glory, and that cannot be changed. That cannot be changed. That is that innumerable number. That is that mighty host.
Yeah.
Oh, that John saw standing on Mount Zion, that heavenly Mount Zion in the holy city. Amen. Of God in the third heaven, a multitude that can't be numbered. Amen. And every one of them, amen, showing the signs with palms, meaning victory. Amen. Showing forth the white robe, representing, amen, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Who are they? They're the saved in glory. They are the redeemed. They are the blood bought. Amen. Children of the Most High God. Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful that is. So, what did Abraham say to Isaac? My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. God did provide the lamb. God provided the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, to die in the room of every Isaac, wherein thy seed shall be called. Amen. Every descent, everyone chosen and treasured in Christ, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ died in the room and in the stead. We've got to move on. The scripture tells us in verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Why shall it be seen? Because it shall be provided. Amen. Jehovah Jireh. Amen. The Jewish people, that was one of the names that they called him. The Lord God that doth provide. Amen. Jehovah Jireh. Amen. He provided for the ram to die in Isaac's stead. In a figure. Amen. In a figurative sense, Abraham received his son back to him on the third day. On the third day. Now I want you to notice what Hosea speaks of concerning the third day, about a restoring and restoration and a reviving and a resurrection, if you please. In Hosea chapter 6, notice Hosea, he prophesied to Israel He prophesied in a time there in the 8th century B.C. for some 40 to 45 years. He prophesied his ministry was to the northern kingdom, the 10 northern tribes, and before they were carried by the Assyrians into Assyrian captivity. This is before the Babylonian captivity of the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin. All right? And so in this warning, and God foretelling them, and God foretelling of his displeasure with Israel, we see starting in verse 1 of Hosea chapter 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord. This is one of the times, one of the seasons here during Hosea's ministry that Israel is repenting and turning unto the Lord. And they say, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn. Notice that. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He tore us. He'll heal us. They're talking about they got tore in judgment. They're talking about the judgments of God that came down upon them because of their sin, their wickedness. He has smitten. And oh, yes, he did. He stricken them. He smote them. That's what he's saying. And he will bind us up. He will bandage us. Well, it's what they're saying here. The same God that smites bandages. The same God that tears can heal. Yeah. And this is what God says. What is this? It's a restoring. It's a reviving. It is a resurrection.
Yeah.
All right, listen to verse 2. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day. In the third day, he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight.
Amen.
Amen. The scripture speaking of and talking about, you see, the nation of Israel that is responding here. Now, there were, we know they reverted back, and eventually they did go into Assyrian captivity. But during this time, in the earlier years of Hosea's ministry, when they're turning to the Lord, when they're turning in order to be healed, and when they have been smitten, when God would bind them up, when they've been stricken down, that he would bandage them, it is in their understanding and knowing that they understood about the significance of the third day, because this language is used. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. We shall live in his sight. Talking about a restoration. Talking about a restoring. And they felt and believed that in the third day that it would be completed. Amen. The significance of the third day.
Yeah.
Now we understand about Brother Jonah. I love this narrative. I love this giving in the scriptures concerning him, of God telling Jonah to go to Nineveh. And of course he didn't. He went another way, did he not? And the Bible teaching us in Jonah in these chapters, where that Jonah in chapter 2, because now he has been thrown into the sea. And in verse 17 of chapter 1 of Jonah, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights.
Yeah.
So here, 3 days and 3 nights, Jonah is in the belly of this fish. Now what's going to happen in the completion of those 3 days and 3 nights? You know, that would have been a horrible place to have been entombed. Jonah would have been entombed in that fish. That fish was his grave, brothers and sisters. Amen. But God's resurrection power, God to show forth his power. Amen. God willing to show forth his power. Amen. God willing to bring about for Jonah to have another opportunity. I love the language of chapter 3 and verse 1 where it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time saying," amen, the second time saying, the first time he disobeyed, but after he was resurrected from the belly of that fish, Jesus there in Matthew chapter 12, he calls that great prepared fish a whale. And so we believe the word of God that it coincides, that it fits together like a hand in glove. Jesus just gives us further explanation. But the point is that it was a prepared fish. It would be his tomb. If it had not been for the mercy of God, Jonah was judged for his disobedience. But in that judgment, God prepared that fish to swallow him up. And he is in, amen, that belly of that fish. Amen, that is his tomb. But in the completion of 3 days and three nights, amen, God brought him to a place to where the fish vomited him up on dry land. And how far was the place where God had the fish to vomit him up? And this is no coincidence either, brothers and sisters. Amen. How far does the Bible say that it was to Nineveh? The Bible says it was a 3-day journey. But I want to tell you though, amen, this brother, he was in the spirit of resurrection power. And the Bible says he began to enter in a day, in one day's journey. Amen. He was up and about it. He got in a hurry. He must have been jogging and running. Amen. To condense it down from a 3-day journey to a 1-day journey. Amen. It's the scripture that notes unto us. I tell you, amen, with resurrection power, it is dunamis power. It is explosive power. That dunamis comes from the Greek word, which means dynamite. Amen. An explosive power. That's the same power in Acts chapter 2 when Jesus talked to them and said, "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive dunamis. You shall receive an explosive power." Amen. And you're going to get this explosive power so you can just sit around and snooze in the master's service. I don't think so. Amen. When I read about dynamite, when I read about explosive power, dunamis power, amen, it must be some empowerment for action, some empowerment for service, some get up and go. I tell you, I also, amen, God help us, we all need some of this resurrection power, dunamis power, explosive power. Amen. Eternal power. Amen. Eternal power of the Godhead. Amen. The giver and sustainer of life. Whereby to be up and about the master's business. To be involved in the service of the Lord. To be enthused in the service of the Lord. Oh, to be zealous in the service of our risen Lord. Amen. And of what great things the Lord has done for us. Remember that wild Gadarene. How that he wanted to go with the Lord, you know. But what, after he had been delivered, but what did the Lord tell him? Said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them." Yeah. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, we need to continuously, not just a one-time thing, but we need to continuously to speak of him often, as Malachi talks about. Amen. Speak of our God to one another. Speak of him often. To speak of his goodness. Amen. To sing and speak into yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Over in Matthew chapter 12. In verse, starting there. In verse 38. And Jesus is speaking to them. In Matthew chapter 12, starting there in verse 38, Jesus is speaking of the sign of Jonah. And of course it is here that the Lord tells them concerning an evil and adulterous generation And they seek after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it. But the sign of the prophet Jonah, that's in verse 39. Verse 40 of Matthew 12. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Our Lord was raised from the dead the third day. It was in the end of the third day, for he had been a completed time of 3 days and 3 nights. Now, I'm not going to go back through all that. If you want to get refreshed in that, go back to the website and listen from around this time last year. Amen. And if you remember, we talked and went into some detail concerning those very things. But as Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the... In other words, Jesus is going to be dead for 3 full days and 3 full nights. And in the end of the third day, he's going to be resurrected. He's going to be brought forth. Jesus tells them of this in John chapter 2. John chapter 2, and I believe long about 19. John chapter 2 and verse 19. Notice what Jesus here in this and in this context. Jesus had told them and condemned them about making the Father's house a house of merchandise. That's in verse 16. When he had ran the changers of money that were sitting there, he had overthrew their tables. And then verse 18, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Seeing that you overturned the money changers' tables and did all these things that you're doing here at the temple, you give us a sign. Show us by what authority you do it. Well, Jesus said to him in verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Destroy this temple. You know, they automatically thought he was talking about that temple there that they were all seeing. But what temple was he talking about? Well, the scripture will interpret itself, because in verse 21 it says, but he spake of the temple of his body.
Yeah.
He spake of the temple of his body. So they had natural things on their mind. Jesus had spiritual things in his answer. You know, that's the way it was many, many times when they came asking things from a temporal, natural sense.
Yeah.
Jesus answered in a spiritual sense. All right? So Jesus answered and said, destroy this temple, destroy my body, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Amen. So here we still have the 3 days from the beginning of the Bible, throughout the Bible, up until this time. Amen. I tell you, it sets forth the precedent of the 3 day of life. Amen. And the restoring of life and resurrection and multiplying of life in the natural realm. And God as the giver and restorer and the blesser, and God the restorer of life in the abundant life unto his people. That's what he was talking about in Hosea chapter 6, because it goes on down in, there in chapter 6 and talks about it from the standpoint that it, that this reviving and this doing it in the, on the third day would be like the former and the latter rain. And you know, that's the Spirit of God was compared to the former and latter rain. Joel the prophet talks about the latter rain, talks about the Holy Ghost, and in those days will I pour out my spirit, and so forth. Amen. So it's spiritual, and it comes through the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. God's creative power and God's sustaining power, Elohim, meaning plural, Godhead, Tri-God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. First and foremost, amen, you need to think of God in the sense of creator. Amen. Natural and spiritual. And above all, spiritual. Amen. Because of that new creation that born again experience. He speaks it into life. God spoke natural creation into existence, into life. Amen. Especially the third day with the plants, the grass, the trees, and then 2 times 3, 6. Amen. With that which walks upon the earth, and the end of that, the last, amen, of his crowning jewel of creation, a man that has the breath of life in him, and able, amen, to procreate, to multiply, amen, and to plenish the earth. So we see God as the creator. God at the head, the very fountain of it. And that's why I remember the lesson there in Acts chapter 17 when Paul reasoned with them from the standpoint. Even your poets say that we're the offspring of God. Why are you liking him unto gold and silver, these molded images and carved images and so forth and on? Don't you think and understand that the creator of human beings would be so much superior than the human being? That would be so much more sovereign and greater. He is the creator. So see, Paul appealed unto their reasoning from that standpoint. But only children of God, born of the Spirit of God, would have that spiritual reason of a mind to be able to do so. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Amen. Isaiah prophesied. I tell you, only born again children of God would be able to come together and to have a mind to reason of spiritual things. The unregenerate cannot reason of spiritual things.
Amen.
We don't understand that. So our Lord, just as surely as carrying out, it was appropriate. Amen. It was the right time for him to be raised. Amen. From the dead on the third day. And the Bible says that it was according to the scriptures. Let's just close by turning over there and reading that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. This is the very heart of the gospel.
Right.
I delivered unto you first of all that. All right. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
Right.
He rose the third day in accordance with the scriptures, with accordance with all that I have went over and talked about this morning, and the places that we have looked at, and of this appropriate third day of life, of God speaking and calling forth life. You know, Jesus said, I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it up. Peter says in Acts chapter 2 that God raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Ghost. So, thank God this morning we preach a risen Christ. You know, he also said in the same chapter, in verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Then he thundertones in 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But we're not in vain this morning, and we're not worshiping in vain. The dead do rise. He raised the dead. We have a few that was raised in the Old Testament, showing forth the power of God. We have those recorded that Christ raised. We have the Old Testament saints, that great cloud that was raised. And we have the resurrection of Christ. And we, as Paul, preach Christ, both crucified, buried, and raised again.
Yeah.
On the third day, and coming again in the clouds of glory.
Amen.
Bless his name forevermore. God bless you this morning is my prayer. We'll select a song.
Amen, bro.
Prayer to stand together.